Lecture topic encompassing dua of Nabi alayhi salam.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. ولا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected Ulama Ikram, brothers and elders. So Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq that we have gathered to listen to some talk of deen, the refreshing of our niyat and being very conscious about what our purpose is, this is extremely important. A mu'min doesn't do something good with the wrong intention. That doesn't happen. A good action with the wrong intention, a mu'min won't do. Why would he do that? Inshallah, that's something a mu'min never does. Though, that too is something that can happen sometimes. Person is doing a good action, like an act of kindness. An act of kindness to somebody is a very noble deed, but Allah forbid sometimes that the wrong intention can creep into a good action. That good action of that act of kindness has got some ulterior motive in it. The person is doing the act of kindness because he wants to take some undue advantage of somebody. So the whole action got corrupted due to the corrupt intention. But generally, a mu'min will do a good action, he won't do it with the wrong intention. But unfortunately, many a times we do many good deeds, many things that are noble in itself, but without intention. Just is done as a routine, this is done without any consciousness about what am I doing or what I can receive through this action. What great rewards Allah Ta'ala has placed in this great action, that consciousness is not in the heart and mind. And an essential part of this entire effort of Islah and Tazkiyah is about Tashihun Niyyah and Ihtisab. Tashihun Niyyah, correcting our intention, making sure that there's a correct intention. And not just a correct intention, a very good intention. One is a correct intention that the person is doing it to please Allah Ta'ala alone. That's the foundation. Without that, the whole thing is lost. So one is the correct intention. But on top of that, he made multiple good intentions. He's going to the masjid for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala alone. But he's also making multiple intentions that inshallah, I will also have some time. I will make tilawat of the Quran Sharif. I will make atikaf, nafil atikaf. I will greet my fellow Muslims in the masjid, make salam to them. There is some talk of deen taking place, inshallah, I'll participate. There's so many other good intentions can be made. So now he enhanced the intention to another level. And nothing, no additional effort. In the same action that he did, went to the masjid, and then on the way he passed some people, he made salam to them. He met his fellow Muslims in the masjid, he made salam to them. He had the chance to make tilawat, he made tilawat, he maybe didn't get the chance. So he missed out on the actual amal of tilawat, but that intention he got rewarded for it. So a mu'min doesn't make a wrong intention in a good action, but unfortunately many a times, the good actions are done without intention. As a result of which, we lose out on the very great rewards. The person was in the masjid, but he didn't make the niyat of nafil i'tikaf. He was there for 1 hour. But because he neglected making that intention, he lost out on that reward of i'tikaf for that 1 hour. So this is the very important lesson to keep reminding ourselves of, to refresh our intentions and renew the intention. So these gatherings of deen, what is the intention behind it? Why do we gather? What is our purpose? What is our purpose of speaking, of listening? So obviously, the essential part of it is for Allah's pleasure alone. No ulterior motive. Allah Ta'ala must become pleased. If there is any ulterior motive, then everything is lost. So Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. Together with that, that it is for the purpose of enlivening our hearts. Enlivening our hearts with the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. Enlivening our hearts with the zeal for deen, with the zeal to come closer to Allah Ta'ala, with the to build that enthusiasm that I want to connect myself to Allah Ta'ala and aspire for akhirat. And all the other good intentions that go along in this manner. So this is that intention, this is the purpose. And this happens because what is discussed is the words of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the Quran Sharif, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the explanation of the Quran Sharif and the hadith Sharif that we have received from our aslaf, our pious predecessors, from our mashayikh, from the ulama kiram, their explanation. So this has an effect of rain on the heart. Just as the land, when it's parched, no rain, it's drought, and after a while, it dries up. When the land dries up, then gradually the vegetation on the land dries up. If there's some wonderful tree, beautiful leaves, excellent fruit coming from it, and wonderful shade it's giving, but there's no water anymore. There's no water, gradually the tree dries up. And as it dries up, it first sheds all its leaves. And as a result, all the shade is gone. And then with that, the fruit is gone. So the fruit goes in fact first, because now no fruit will come, and then gradually all the leaves are gone, then the shade is gone, and then the tree itself dries up. And after some time, one gust of wind, and the tree has been turned upside down. So likewise, when a person, there's a drought of spiritual rain on the heart, in the form of nasihat, form of good advice, in the form of tilawat of the Quran Sharif, the dhikr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then gradually this heart dries up. And as the heart dries up, then the fruit of a'mal start drying up. The person was performing salah regularly with jama'ah. He was very, very particular about making his salah with takbir-e-ula. Now suddenly he's missing his jama'at. And that too is not even affecting him. That I missed my jama'at, what a serious thing happened, not affecting him. So the fruit dried up. And then his mu'amalat and mu'asharat start becoming very, very incorrect, becomes very harmful to people, whatever else happens. Because now as it dried up more, then all the leaves went away too. So no more shade for anybody. Everybody is exposed to the harsh rays of the sun in his, around him. Because around him there's no shade anymore. Everything has dried up. So now, they're exposed to all the harsh elements around him. So the elements of his harsh tongue, and the elements of his harsh actions, and his harsh behavior, and all the things that cause so much of taklif and pain, and difficulty and harm, that becomes the situation. So this rain on the heart, the spiritual rain, this is an ongoing need. The land, it had enough rain this year, so for 5 years no more it didn't rain. Doesn't happen like that. Every now and again it needs that rain, otherwise if a period of time has passed and no rain, already the drying up starts. If that duration is not too long, but there was a lapse in between, the quality of the fruit will already drop. And then if it's longer, then the fruit itself will stop. So this ongoing rain is required. And in all the different opportunities that we get, the ta'aleem in the masjid that takes place regularly, any talk of deen that's happening, then all the other amal, all this is rain for the heart, but this nasihat itself is very important rain. Together with all the other amal, the nasihat of deen, this is an extremely important aspect. Had it not been necessary, if it was only the a'mal that were necessary, then Allah Ta'ala would not have revealed in the Quran Sharif, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and remind, تَذْكِير, تَذْكِير by means of this nasiha. If this was not necessary, Allah wouldn't have revealed this ayat in the Quran Sharif. Then it would have been just confined to the tasbihat, zikr, tilaw, which is obviously essential. But while all that has been commanded in the Quran Sharif, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ قَبْلَ تُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا, and so many ayat about the tasbih and glorification of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, etc. Together with all that, it was ذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and remind, for verily a reminder keeps benefiting the believers. تَنْفَعُ, from the aspect of balaghat, this is now something technical, but it gives the meaning of continuity. That this must go on because it will go on benefiting. So that is the purpose, that the person speaking, the one listening, that must be the intention. The intention is never just to tick a box. Well, this becomes a routine and this is a day that now, this happens every Tuesday night or some other occasion as it comes. Well, that is now the standard routine. No, there should be a continuous refreshing of that intention. That this is not just a routine, this is a need. It's a need to refresh the heart, to bring the rain of this spiritual rain through the discussion of the Quran Sharif, the ayat of the Quran Sharif, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That spiritual rain which is contained in all these Mubarak words, that is that rain that we all need on our hearts. So in any case, the one dua that was recited right at the beginning, this is a dua that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught. And the duas of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so what can be imagined about it beyond our imagination? What barakat is in these words? What connection these words will bring between us and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, how this will enliven our hearts, provided it's all done consciously, deeply from the heart, not in just again a routine manner. The words of the dhikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the name of Allah ta'ala, this is extremely beyond our imagination, the greatness of Allah's name, the tasbih and taqdees of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. No matter how, what extent of neglect a person takes the name of Allah Ta'ala, meaning he's totally far away, his mind is somewhere else, and he's taking Allah Ta'ala's name, even that is not without benefit. But if that also is not without benefit, then taking Allah Ta'ala's name very consciously, very deeply, we can't imagine what benefit that will bring. That's what's required, to do it very consciously. Do it with istihzar. The tasbihat that we recite after salah, for example. So after the fajr and asr, we generally do it, but we should be doing after every salah. Tasbih Fatimi, after the sunnats. The bare minimum is at least 10 times each. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. But one is to go about it in a rushed way. Unfortunately, even how long does it take to recite this tasbihat? But there's no time. No time for anything. There's only screen time. Otherwise, there's no time. Whereas, hardly takes any time. And just to give it little bit more time. Little bit more time, meaning maybe another half minute more. 1 minute more. And that 1 minute more, in our understanding, is like something from C grade to make it A grade. Something from a very low level grade to make it high grade, 1 minute more to just enhance that quality. One is to do it in that haphazard way, rushed manner, and just to quickly get the count done. And the other is take a little bit more time, 1 minute more, 1 minute more. But subhanallah, subhanallah, deeply from the heart, and feeling it cleansing our hearts, brightening the heart, adorning the heart, alhamdulillah, with the consciousness, what shukr I made for Allah's ni'mats. Countless bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, I can't make enough shukr for even one bounty. And let alone one bounty make enough shukr for even the fraction of one bounty. But this is just some level of expression, alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah ta'ala, all his countless occasion of shukr. But now just to do it more consciously, more deeply, from the recesses of the heart, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, Allah's greatness. Every other thing has become deep down in our hearts. Greatness of dunya, greatness of technology, greatness of this, that and the other. Greatness of the strength of enemies which Allah Ta'ala has described, كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ, like the spider's web. Spider's web, it spins its web sometime in an empty house. Nobody has been there for a while. So it spins its web right around the whole house. And it seems like this spider has taken control over this whole place. It's now dominating this whole place. اتخذت بيتا. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ. The weakest of all homes is all this spider's web. Somebody then comes in, he decides now he's going to live in this house. He bought it, or he now took it on rent. All he takes is one just broom, and just swings that one broom around just a few times, and there's nothing left. But now because of the greatness of all these things settling in our hearts, then the spider's web also, we get overawed with it. Like this has taken control of us, and taken control over the whole world, all these forces of batil. But in front of the qudrat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is not even the extent of a spider's web. But it is up to us to bring the rahmat of Allah ta'ala in our lives, through our amal, and more than anything else, through sincere tawbah and istighfar. Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, somebody once asked that there are so many pious people making dua, but why is the condition of the ummah not changing? So many pious people, mashallah, throughout the world, they are making dua, the Haramain Sharifain, they are making dua, in so many parts of the world, there will be Allah's pious servants who we have no idea about also. Beyond our thoughts, where they are and who they are, and many such people will pass by and not give a second look to, but we have no idea what their taluk is with Allah Ta'ala. Yes, but so many people are making dua, and the condition of the ummah is not changing. So they replied and said that just for our understanding, Allah Ta'ala is beyond any comparison. There's no comparison. But just for our understanding, that some father got very, very upset, and he got very disappointed and upset with his son, so he chased the son out of the house, out from here. So now he's out of the house, so his brother comes now and intercedes to the father. Then the uncle came and he interceded. Then some cousin came and interceded. And everybody else is coming and they're saying, now look, bring him back, give him a chance. But he himself hasn't yet come back to say, please give me a chance. I'm sorry for what I did. Everybody else is pleading on his behalf, but he's indifferent. So is the father going to be concerned about now overlooking this? Everybody else is asking to now give him a chance to overlook his fault, but he's not asking. He hasn't come back to say, look, I'm sorry, so why should I bother? That is just on our level of understanding, that if he himself is showing you no remorse, the father says, let him go, carry on. So just for the level of understanding, that unfortunately, while the pious people throughout the world, they are making dua, deep-hearted, sincere dua, but they all together amount to a small minority. And the rest of the ummah, they're not asking Allah's forgiveness. The reason for what is the problem, That's not being remedied. That's not being sorted out. Those who have been transgressing Allah Ta'ala's laws and trampling Allah Ta'ala's commands, they haven't turned their hands to Allah Ta'ala and shed tears of repentance. They haven't made tawbah yet. They're not asking Allah's forgiveness. Others are interceding, but they're not asking. So now when Allah's rahmat will come then, when those who have transgressed Allah's laws, and those is us. And those is not somebody else far away in some other part of the world. We have to look within ourselves. How much have I transgressed Allah Ta'ala's laws? How much have my eyes transgressed Allah Ta'ala's laws? My tongue, my ears, my heart. So in any case, coming back to the aspect that we were discussing, we moved off from this point that we had started off with, that the du'as of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what can be imagined about these du'as? And these du'as are du'as, on the one side, it's asking from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and teaching us how to ask from Allah ta'ala. And teaching us what to ask. What to ask, because that too we don't know. The only thing that we think about asking is something to do with what will make our dunya and more dunya. But while we ask our needs of dunya also from Allah Ta'ala, what is of greater importance, what is of more higher priority, that we sometimes don't even think about. Can we imagine now that there are so many important things to ask from the father? The son comes and he says, but now I need two rands for something else. But now there's major other big issues. He's asking for two rands. So fine, he'll get his two rands, and that's all he'll get. Now there are such big things to ask from Allah Ta'ala. We're confining it. Not that should not be asked from Allah. Our needs of dunya also, halal, rizq, etc., we ask from Allah Ta'ala. We don't confine it to that. Together with that, there's far greater and bigger things also to ask. So there's many things to ask, but in this one particular dua, many of our dunya requirements are also involved in it. And our akhirat is also here. So like many duas that are very comprehensive, very few words but oceans of knowledge in it, in this dua as well, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks for five things, teaching us we must ask for these things. Teaching us that these are very important things. So the five things asked in this dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka siha. Ya Allah, number one, I ask you for good health. Good health is a very great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. The person with good health can serve the deen of Allah Ta'ala more. So good health is not just for using for dunya, but the person with good health can do more in terms of getting closer to Allah Ta'ala. Person who has good health, he can make tilawat maybe 5 paras, 10 paras. Person is ill, now he's unable to do it. Somebody has good health, he can make 20 rakats, 30 rakats. Somebody without that good health, he won't manage that much. Likewise, all the other things. So good health is a very great ni'mat. And likewise, that good health will make it possible now to do things to help others also. He can be of help to fellow beings. He has that good health, then he is also able to be at comfort, at peace. So that too is a ni'mat, very great ni'mat. So the first thing being asked for is good health. But just as we understand this principle in other things, it's dua and dawa. Meaning the action also must comply with it. What is a person is asking for good health, but he does everything that harms his health. It doesn't work like that. This is dunya is darul asbab, the place of means. Allah has put effect in means. If the person is doing something that is going to harm his health, then that is going against the very mean, the system that Allah Ta'ala has made in this dunya, that look, if you're going to put your hand in fire, it will burn. So don't do it. It's Allah's qudrat that it may not burn. But that's not the general system. The general system Allah has made is that the hand you put in a fire will burn. So if you do things that's going to harm your health, it's going to get harmed. Allah's qudrati is that nothing will harm it. But the system Allah has made, there are certain things will harm it, it will get harmed. So the person has to take care of his health. So his eating habits, how he conducts himself, what he does, what he doesn't do. In any case, the first aspect is Allahumma inna nas'aluka as-sihha. And then together with that, wal-iffa. Ya Allah, I ask for chastity. Now, the link between this, as-sihha wal-iffa. One is the link on this note, that to the extent that they will be iffat, that iffat will look after a person's sihat. Person who is chaste, person is staying away from all kinds of other vices and sins, that itself will become a means of protection of his health. And the person who indulges in various harams, then that is a means of destroying his health as well. So that's one angle of it. And the other angle is that, Ya Allah, I'm asking for good health, but that good health, if it's not channeled correctly, Allah forbid that good health can take a person in avenues of becoming unchaste. Person who's lying on the bed of, on his deathbed, or he's just very, very ill, where he's going to think of so many haram things that come into the minds of people with good health. Person is lying half dead, where he's going to think of zina. Person is lying half dead, or his vision is now failing, can't even see in 1 meter in front of him, where he's going to think about looking at some filth on his phone. So when there's good health, then the very important thing is to ask for iffat. Because if there's good health, then there's no iffat, there's no chastity. That good health will become a means of destroying a person. It'll destroy his iman, destroy his haya and modesty and shame, and destroy whatnot. So therefore, with good health, it's very important to have iffat as well. Otherwise, a good health will become a major disaster for him. Because it will take him to all kinds of vices. So this is the other very important link. So on the one side is this dua. The dua for iffat. Dua for chastity. But then in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala gave us the prescription for iffat as well. So dua is very essential. Dua must never be neglected. But together with dua is dawa as well. The dua and also the actions that are conducive to that dua. So in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala gave one simple prescription, one rule. And subhanallah, this rule is universal for all places and all times till Qiyamah. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. Subhanallah. This is the kalam of Allah Tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Many things normally, the prohibition is, don't do this, don't do that. Allah says, don't go close to zina. The Quran Sharif doesn't say, don't commit zina. Don't go close to it. And the Hadith Sharif has expounded on all the different levels and avenues of zina. وَزِنَا الْعَيْنِ النَّظَرِ. The zina of the eyes is looking at haram. وَزِنَا الْيَدِ الْبَطْشِ. The zina of the hand is to touch. And the zina of the heart, أَيَّتَمَنَّى. Getting involved in all kinds of haram thoughts, deliberately, fantasizing, whatever. So all these are levels of immorality, of destroying chastity. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. All these levels of zina. Allah says, don't get close to it. Subhanallah. This is the kalam of Allah Ta'ala, that don't get close to it, because this is a fire. And when a person gets close to a fire, he already, the heat gets him. He's not in the fire. He's away from the fire. But depending on the intensity of the fire, the heat will get him from a distance. And now when the heat reaches a person, then when butter gets close to fire, then it melts. It's not in the fire. It doesn't have to be in the fire to melt. Even if it's close to the fire, the heat is reaching it, butter will melt. And nobody should ever think he's even better. So Allah Ta'ala's command is one simple command. And the same principle will apply to all other vices and sins. Person gets close to it, he's putting himself in danger of it. But when it comes to zina, this is Allah spells it out. Other aspects also in the Quran Sharif, similar kind of expression. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. So this very clear command of the Quran Sharif, don't get close to it. Now how many times it is just a button away? One button and a person is gone. So now when that is the case, when a person falls at the click of a button, then how far away that button must be from him? When that has dropped him repeatedly, then how far away those buttons must be from him? So we are being taught in this dua that ask for this iffat, because if iffat is missing, then there's a very big problem in life. Then it can take a person and drop him, Allah forbid where. So the sihat is very important, but together with the sihat, this iffat is extremely fundamental. Because if this iffat is missing, then it's going to open the doors to all kinds of vices and sins. And then it will make his dunya also fall apart. And Allah forbid the akhirat what's coming. As a person makes tawbah, Allah's grace is unlimited. Person comes back to Allah Ta'ala sincerely, no matter where he fell. And therefore he should never ever delay in tawbah. When that thought of tawbah came in the heart, don't delay it for later. Immediately turn to Allah Ta'ala. Allah's grace, subhanallah, unlimited. When a person has come sincerely from the depth of his heart with remorse and regret, that's the key element of tawbah. Remorse and regret, not because he got caught. His wife caught him, somebody else caught him. No, because I disobeyed my Allah. That remorse. Allah who gave me everything, my creator, my sustainer. Every breath I take is Allah's grace. And I disobeyed this benefactor and most gracious Rabb. That remorse. So now when a person comes back to Allah Ta'ala with that remorse and regret, Allah Ta'ala forgave the person who committed 100 murders also. Meaning that that sin has been forgiven, Allah will take care of the rights of the people as well for him, if Allah forgave him. But the point is that dunya is dunya. Sometimes a person has made sincere tawbah and has turned to Allah Ta'ala with, in all sincerity. As a result, Allah's grace came and he got forgiven. Inshallah, in the akhirat, if he remains in that manner, he won't be taken to task. But dunya doesn't forgive him. And that damage that sometimes happens in dunya, sometimes that is never repaired. That damage of dunya is sometimes like that glass container, it fell now and it broke in 50 pieces. Now who's going to put that together now in dunya? It requires some sahib-e karamat, maybe somebody will come around, maybe look at it and say, Qum bi iznillah. But now when that's going to happen, that is not the rule. That is not how it happens. One odd occasion, some way it may have happened for somebody, Allah knows. But the system in dunya is, if that broke in 100 pieces, now somebody is going to sweep it up and throw it away. So Allah Ta'ala's grace is unlimited. The person has sincerely turned to Allah Ta'ala, and therefore we must sincerely turn to Allah Ta'ala. Because the harm of dunya is nothing compared to the harm of akhirat. The loss of dunya can't compare in any way to the loss of akhirat. So we must secure our akhirat. But Allah forbid that sometimes the damage of dunya is irreparable. So we don't take chances. Turn to Allah Ta'ala, ask Allah's forgiveness, Allah's grace, Allah's help, Allah's protection. So this is the aspect that is being asked for in this. Allahumma inni as'aluka sihhata wal iffa. And shaitan, this is the ayat Allah says, wala taqrabu zina. So shaitan never comes directly to a person and say, jump into this sin. That doesn't happen. What happens is, when a person has never been in a sin, so shaitan, Allah says, don't get close to it. Shaitan gradually brings him one step at a time closer to it. كمثل الشيطان إذ قال للإنسان كفر فلما كفر قال إني بريء منك. The ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala mentions about Shaitan's deception. Lama Qurtubi rahimahullah, he says that this actually was an incident that took place in the Bani Israel. There was one rahib. He was a monk, very involved in his ibadat. And for 70 years, he didn't disobey Allah Ta'ala. And Shaitan was trying his utmost to try and now cause his downfall. So a lengthy incident, but the crux of it, one step at a time. Lengthy incident, we don't have time to go into the details of it. But Shaitan brought him one step at a time closer to the point where eventually he made him commit zina. First brought somebody, he started off one whole long story, he would go and now choke someone. First he came to this rahib, this monk, and he taught him some things. He said, look, these are very special kalimat, very special recitations. You recite this and somebody has got some big problem, jinn and sihr and jadu, he'll come right instantly. And then what he would do, he would go and choke someone. And he's choking somebody. Then after that, he, in human form, will tell the people around, look, I know who got the treatment for this, that monk. So now he'll come along, they'll bring him along, and he's still choking him. And that monk will read something, immediately now he'll release the grip. This fellow just came right instantly. Subhanallah, this became an overnight success story. So now one after the other, gradually he started doing the same to so many people. And then when this monk recites whatever he was taught to recite, now nobody else knows what's going on here. It doesn't mean there's always everything is to do with Shaitan. There are some authentic recitations and that bring about relief to people. But this particular incident, this happened in this way. So after when people got, now this person now became very well known. So eventually Shaitan went and he started doing the same to one very beautiful girl. So now bring her there. And now as lengthy incident, so now gradually got this monk interested in her. After a lengthy period of time, and long and short of it is, eventually he made him commit zina. Now when this zina happened, and now she fell pregnant, he says, you now destroyed, you are completely going to be disgraced. Only one way of saving yourself from disgrace, you kill her. Kill her, have a buried finish. Say, dead man speaks no tales. So just rather kill her off. When after that murder was committed, now Shaitan went and whispered in the ears of those who, her family people, this is where she's buried. And he whispered all the traces and the links. This is where it came from. This monk is responsible. So now Shaitan made him first do the deed. And then Shaitan went and whispered in the ears of the people who to catch for it. And now when he was on the gallows, about to be hanged for the murder that he committed, Shaitan came and said, look, there's one chance, you can still get saved. There's one last chance. That last chance is, you make sajda to me, I'll sort all this out. In that desperation, if qala lil kamathali shaitani, if qala lil insani kfur, you make sajda to me. He got ready. Na'uzu billah, he made sajda. And Shaitan says, inni bari ummink, I got nothing to do with you. Iman also gone now. And the next thing they hanged him. He lost his dunya, lost his akhirat. Everything went. But started off where Shaitan didn't say go and commit zina with that girl. Shaitan brought him closer. And Allah Ta'ala gives us the command, la taqrabu zina. Don't come closer. Because when the person will make, he'll start becoming qareeb to it, that qurb will result in fi'l. When he start getting closer in one way or the other, won't guard his gaze, won't guard his heart, won't guard what he's reading, what he's looking at, what kind of interactions he's having. Very, very innocent interaction on the surface. It's just a customer, just some client, whatever else. But Allah is seeing what's going on in the heart. Allah Ta'ala is seeing what is going on in the heart. Allah is aware. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah Ta'ala knows the deception of the eye and what the heart conceals. So therefore this iffat, Allahumma inna saluka sihhata wal iffata. And for that iffat, wala taqrabu. Don't even get close to the avenues of haram, of zina, anything that leads in that direction. And then the time has already run out. The third aspect asked for is wal amanata. Allah grant me trustworthiness. And trustworthiness, so in every facet, all these limbs and faculties are the gifts of Allah Ta'ala. And also amanat from Allah Ta'ala. So the person who has amanat in him, then he'll protect his iffat. Because he's now very conscious, Allah's amanat. The eyes, Allah's amanat. His tongue, Allah Ta'ala's amanat. His fingers, Allah Ta'ala's amanat. So when he's conscious, he's got trustworthiness. He will not misuse a trust. Then he'll look after his iffat as well. Well, amana. No husn al khulq. Allah bless me with good akhlaq. And good akhlaq in its entirety, one important, very, very important facet of good akhlaq is amanat. So if he's blessed with good akhlaq, he'll have amanat and trustworthiness in his life. And wa ridha bil qadr. Ya Allah, you bless me with ridha bil qadr. That I'm pleased with your decree at all times. The person who's pleased with the decree of Allah Ta'ala, he'll be able to adopt good character. Because he now looks at where everything is originating from. The rest is all just where it's manifesting itself from. But originating from the decree of Allah Ta'ala. So therefore he's pleased with Allah's decree at all times. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala keep us steadfast on deen. Save us from all the avenues that become a means of harming our deen. Harming our akhirat. And therefore we have to keep very, very conscious and very consistent in all the a'mal of deen. Keep conscious of Allah Ta'ala. Keep consistent with the a'mal of deen. Keep ourselves in the environments of deen. MashaAllah, all the efforts of deen that take place are for the same purpose and objective. The ijtima to take place also next month. That too is for no other purpose but to bring alive this consciousness. To connect ourselves to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So therefore that too, inshallah, we attend the ijtima with full zeal, with the same purpose, that niyat, very crucial, the niyat, and then we also become part of whatever the good efforts that take place. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
La ilaha illallah محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله لا إله إلا الله 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 لا إله illallah, la ilaha 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 illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا الله جل جلاله عم نواله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم يا أحدا صمدا لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم واعفو وتكرم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم. ربنا توفنا مسلمين وألحقنا بالشهداء والصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك، يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين. إله العالمين يا الله، most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah, يا الله forgive us يا الله، يا الله forgive us يا الله، يا الله forgive us يا الله، يا الله forgive the entire ummah of نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah, show your maghfirat on the ummati, Allah. Show your rahmat on the ummati, Allah. Ilahu al-alameen, ya Allah. Allah, it is our sins, ya Allah. It is our masdeeds, ya Allah. Allah, our blatant disobedience, ya Allah. Our shamelessness, ya Allah. Allah, that we have become a means, ya Allah. Allah, of difficulties and hardships upon ourselves and upon everybody, ya Allah. Allah, forgive us, ya Allah. Allah, remove all the difficulties and hardships, ya Allah. Ilahu al-alameen, grant afiyat to one and all, ya Allah. Grant afiyat in deen, ya Allah. Afiyat in dunya, ya Allah. Allah, save us from all kinds of trials and tribulations and tests, ya Allah. Allah, bless us with afiyat, ya Allah. Ilahu al-alameen, make us your obedient servants, ya Allah. Make us people of taqwa, ya Allah. Make us people of taqwa, ya Allah. Bless us with taqwa, ya Allah. Bless us with the quality of ihsan, ya Allah. Make us among the muhsineen, ya Allah. Ilahu al-alameen, ya Allah. Allah, make us among the qaniteen, ya Allah. Make us among the ta'ibin, ya Allah. Make us among the ta'ibin, ya Allah. Allah, grant us the true sincere tawbah, ya Allah. Make us, ya Allah, among those who sincerely repent, ya Allah. Allah, with true remorse and regret, ya Allah. Allah, for all the vices and sins that we have committed, ya Allah. Allah, despite your countless bounties and ni'mats, ya Allah, then shower upon us every moment, ya Allah, every split second, ya Allah, countless ni'mats and bounties we enjoy, ya Allah. Allah, in every split second, ya Allah, ya Allah, we have been in your disobedience, ya Allah. Ya Allah, how ungrateful we have been, ya Allah. Allah, how ungrateful, ya Allah. Ya Allah, we go to sleep thinking of sin, ya Allah. Allah, we wake up in a state of thinking of sin, ya Allah. Ilahu al-alamin, planning sin, ya Allah. Indulging in haram, ya Allah. Ilahu al-alamin, how are we going to face you on the day of Qiyamah, ya Allah? How we are going to face Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and want his shafa'ah and intercession, when we have been blatantly, ya Allah, trampling his Mubarak way of life, and embracing the ways of the Yahud and Nasara, embracing the ways of his enemies. Ya Allah, you forgive these major crimes of ours, ya Allah. Forgive these major crimes of ours, ya Allah. Ilahu al-alamin, ya Allah. Ya Allah, today we're making tawbah again, ya Allah. Ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, forgive us, ya Allah. Ya Allah, we regret all the wrongs we have committed, ya Allah. All the vices and sins, ya Allah. All the blatant disobedience, ya Allah. All the shamelessness, ya Allah. Ilahu al-alamin, all the ingratitude, ya Allah. All the disloyalty, ya Allah. Ilahu al-alamin, ya Allah. Ya Allah, any description, ya Allah. Ya Allah, can't come. Ya Allah, describe our evil, ya Allah. Ilahu al-alamin, but you are most merciful, ya Allah. You are arhamur rahimin, ya Allah. You are akramul akramin, ya Allah. You are ghaffarul zunub, ya Allah. You are sattarul uyub, ya Allah. Ilahu al-alamin, ya Allah, forgive us, ya Allah. Forgive the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, make us your true and obedient servants, ya Allah. Make us your loyal servants, ya Allah. Make us the loyal ummatis of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahu al-alamin, ya Allah. Allah, accept us for the khidmat of deen, ya Allah. Enable us to become the true ambassadors of deen, ya Allah. The ambassadors of the sunnah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, save us from the ways of the Yahud and Nasara. Allah, keep us far away from their ways, ya Allah. Ilahu al-alamin, save us from all the evils and vices, ya Allah. Allah, save us from going anywhere close to zina, ya Allah. Save us from going close to all the haram and filth, ya Allah. Ilahu al-alamin, ya Allah, keep us on sirat-e-mustaqim, ya Allah. Keep us on sirat-e-mustaqim, ya Allah. Ilahu al-alamin, ya Allah. Allah, save us from all the isms, ya Allah. Save us from all the deviation, ya Allah. Save us from the deception of nafs and shaitan, ya Allah. Ilahu al-alamin, all those who are sick, give them shifa kamila, ajila, mustamirra, daima.
Allah, remove every trace of their ailments, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, those in financial difficulties, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Grant tremendous barakat in each one's risk, Ya Allah. Grant abundant halal and tayyib risk filled with barakat, Ya Allah. Save us from every drop and grain of haram and doubtful things, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Whatever anxiety, depression, worry, sorrows, and grief people are in, Ya Allah. Out of your grace and mercy, Ya Allah, you lighten their hearts, Ya Allah. Fill their hearts with happiness, Ya Allah. Fill their hearts with peace and sukoon and itminan, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant afiyat in every matter, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, throughout the world, Ya Allah. Wherever the Muslims are, Ya Allah, in any kind of suffering and pain and hardship, Ya Allah, remove their difficulties and hardship, Ya Allah. Grant each one afiyat in deen and dunya, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, our brothers and sisters of Palestine and Gaza in particular, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you shower your special rahmat on them, Ya Allah. Your special rahmat on them, Ya Allah. Your fazl and karam, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. You protect them, Ya Allah. You grant them strength over their enemies, Ya Allah. Allah, grant them victory over their enemies, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, you feed them, Ya Allah. From the unseen sources, Ya Allah. Allahumma at'imhum min joo' wa aminhum min khawf. Allahumma at'imhum min joo' wa aminhum min khawf. اللهم أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف يا الله أنسوا ملكي مدن يقياه يا الله يا الله this is the حالة of the أمت يا الله we still could be indulging in haram and filth يا الله I was on end in evil يا الله on watching all kinds of filth on our phones يا الله indulging in the haram يا الله going to haram places يا الله يا الله not being involved in any amal يا الله Hardly any dua, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, when Al-Sa will have the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, when those shuhada of Palestine come to ask us what you did, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, forgive our shamelessness, Ya Allah. Our insensitivity to the Ummah, Ya Allah. Our lack of any care, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, this lip service is not going to help us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive us, Ya Allah. Give us the true fervor of the Ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, this is the Ummah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you grant maghfirat, Ya Allah. Shower your rahmat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, shower your rahmat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, despite our sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, despite all the barriers that we have put in the way, Ya Allah, from the rahmat coming and reaching us in the ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you remove all these barriers, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, with Ya Allah, your afu and forgiveness, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, show your rahmat, Ya Allah. Show your maghfirat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, show your special help, Ya Allah. اللهم انصر المجاهدين في سبيلك حقا اللهم انصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم انصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم انصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم لعن الكفرة الذين يصدون عن سبيلك ويكذبون رسلك ويقاتلون أولياءك اللهم شتت شملهم اللهم مزق جمعهم اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم وزلزل أقدامهم وزلزل أقدامهم وأنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين اللهم خذهم أخذ عزيز مقتدر اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت إله العالمين يا الله يا الله with the barakat of the shuhada يا الله يا الله you spread hidayat in that land يا الله Spread the hidayat on the entire earth, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, with the barakat of the blood of the shuhada, Ya Allah. Forgive us as well, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive the ummah, Ya Allah. Show your grace and mercy on the ummah, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, give hidayat to the enemies as well, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, if hidayat is not decree for them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, wipe them out from the face of this earth, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad. صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ
ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين، اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين، اللهم ارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.